This morning, I'd like to continue on the vision statement that we have been developing. And as a vision statement, it always open to be developed more better and clearer. At the beginning of September, I started with a sermon entitled, The Quest for a Blessing. And as I think of our vision statement, if we don't have a sense of blessing about it, if it's not life-giving, if it's not helping us in the direction we need to go, we need to look at it and very carefully and refocus it so that it is life-giving and it becomes something that gives us direction and energy as we continue our journey. 2 weeks ago, we talked about being rooted in Jesus. We want to use the analogy of a tree as a metaphor for a vision statement. And so we start with the rooted part. The rooted roots are so important for any kind of a plant. And so we call the first part of the vision statement rooted in Jesus. And we focused on Colossians chapter 1, where Paul talks about Jesus, and he summarizes like a creed, and he summarizes who Jesus is. Jesus is the creator of the universe. Jesus is the head of the church. And Jesus is the one who has died for our sin. He's the one who sacrificed for our sin. And reconciling, and in that, he's reconciling the world to himself. And so that's an important building block. The next part of any kind of plant is that it has to have the energy flowing through the plant. And so we talked about growing in grace. Grace is so important. If we don't have grace, we end up in judgment. If we don't have grace, we don't live in a space where we can grow and become someone in Jesus. And so grace is important. And today, we want to focus on the theme of connected in community. And you can imagine a tree, of course, it's not a tree or a plant if it doesn't have some kind of leaves or branches and connection. And so that's a very vital part to a vision statement is how we are connected. And this morning I'd like to answer the question, why is this included in a vision statement? After all, we are all connected to some kind of community. If we are attending school, we have a school community. If we are involved in sports, we have a sports community. If we are involved in music in special ways, it becomes part of a community. So, and our families are community. And so why is it so important to talk about connected in community? A number of years ago, I was involved. I was on the Faith and Life Commission for the Alberta Mennonite Brethren Conference, and part of our responsibilities, we had a number of responsibilities, but two of them were that we would interview all the incoming pastors when a church was transitioning to another pastor. The Faith and Life Commission had a number of people who would interview the pastor, coming in pastor, the potential pastor, to check the theology, check the, you know, are there any red flags that we need to look at? And so that was one element that we did on the Faith and Life Commission. And the other element that we did, another focus that we did, was to try to help churches during times of difficulty, during times of conflict. And during that time, we had a focus in Alberta that we wanted to plant 10 churches in Calgary, and a few of those were in Edmonton. And so there was this huge push and a huge trying to develop 10 churches within 5 years, church planting in Calgary. And so this was very vital. And also, so during that time, one of my responsibilities was, as I said, to be involved in addressing conflict in church. And so Abe Conrad, who was the conference pastor at that time, and I went to this church that was not far out from Edmonton. And we spent about two months going out almost every week in talking with this church because they were in a very difficult place. And we talked with this church and we thought we had the things lined up, and then we'd come back the next week and it had fallen apart again. And so we'd talk with the leaders again, we'd try to help them get focused, what did they need, what and so on, and we'd come back the next week and it seemed to fall apart again. And so this was an issue that had gone on for a while, and finally the church died. That was not a very happy ending. There's not a very easy ending, too, because you can imagine, you know, that there's some people that didn't want to see the church die. And from that, even that formal church, then a group of the people said, well, maybe we can start this thing up again. And they didn't meet in the church building. They met in another place. But that, too, didn't work. And so this church that had been a thriving church, it just died. And at the same time, somebody had done some research about the MB conference, MB churches in Alberta. And the research was, the results of the research was this, that there was no net gain in, even though we'd planted about 10 churches, but overall there's no net gain in the Alberta churches as a whole, because there were a number of churches that either split and lost a lot of members or died. And so when we look at this element connected in community, it is so vital. It's so important. If we don't have a healthy church community, this it disintegrates. It has a chance of disintegrating. It has a chance of falling apart, and it's hard to resurrect in that place. And so it's important to look at this, to look at this theme prayerfully, to look at this theme in a bigger picture. Today I'm not going to talk about the structure of the church. That's a different element. I want to talk about some of the key themes that I think are important as we consider what it means to be connected in community. So if you look in the scripture readings today, if you look in 1 John chapter 4, again, if I can find it here, we will see that the Trinity is mentioned. And so I want to look at these themes as one. The overall theme is that I believe that the Trinity, the triune God, is embedded in the church, in his community. The second theme I'd look at is the importance of transparency. If we don't have transparency as an important value in our church, we lose that depth of who we are as people. And along with transparency is authenticity, that we might be authentic people, real people, and that we might live lives that reflect the person of Jesus, that we live lives that are have integrity. And so those are three themes that I'd like to address this morning. And so the first one is that the very character of God, the very character of the triune God, is embedded in the church, in the community. So in 1 John chapter 4, we see that God shows his love, the Father shows his love, and this is verse 9, by sending his only Son that we might live through him. And later on in verse 14, the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And so you get this sense of the Father and the Son, and they have distinct direction, they have distinct responsibilities. And then in verse 13, he says, and we know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. And so you get this sense that that God the Father is involved in the church. God the Son is involved in the church through his coming to this earth. And the Holy Spirit is given to give life. And so you have these three involved in as a very important part of the embedded in the church. And then if we look at and the key verse that John highlights is love, and we saw that in our scripture reading. And then in Ephesians 4, we again see these three persons of the Trinity involved in this beautiful, amazing statement that Paul makes of the church. And so in verse 6, we see that there is one God and Father who's over all, through all, and in all. And so God the Father is involved in this in such a profound way. And the language there is not a language of pantheism where you'd see a tree and say, well, that tree is God. No, this is a sense that God is involved in creation, has made all this, and God is the one who is there to keep it going, to keep it functioning and giving direction. And then if we read in Ephesians later on, and then Ephesians 12, verse 12, it says, the Father is preparing people for works of service. That's interesting. So not only is God is over all and through all, but the Father is also preparing people for works of service. And then in verse 5, we give reference to one Lord. And so now it talks about Jesus being involved here. And later on in verse 12, he said, God prepares his people, the body of Christ, that we may be built up, reach the unity, that we might reach unity in the faith. And the verse 15, it says, that we grow up into Christ who is the head. And so he gets a sense that the Father's involved in giving the gifts and so on. The Spirit is involved. The Son is involved in this, that we grow and mature in Jesus. And then in verse 3, he says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So the Holy Spirit is involved in this community that we have. And then later in verse 4, he says, there's one body and one Spirit. And then later on in Ephesians 4, he talks about the different gifts. It's as if the grace that comes, and he talks the gift of leadership. And all these gifts of the Spirit are to focus on what? To building the body that we might attain the unity and we might grow into the fullness of Jesus. And so there is a sense that we, as we think of connected in community, we're connected with the triune God. And if you think of it, that's kind of confusing in some way. So how does the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, how are they involved in this? And theologians have wrestled with this. And some of the early theologians, they came up with a unique word. It's called perichoresis. That's kind of Greek. But it's involved that they're into each other, and yet there's a uniqueness. And some of them called it almost like a dance, that they'd be dancing together in perfect unity, perfect harmony. And yet each one person of the Trinity is unique. And so we have this invitation by God to be part of God's community because God is Father, Son, and Spirit. And God is perfect community, and he's inviting us to be part of that community. And so this is really, really important because without this, we aren't a church, right? Without this, we aren't a community of God. We have the foundation. We're hooked in the we're rooted in Christ, and now we're part of this community of God. And so the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And so I think it's incumbent on us, as part of this church, as we continue on, how do we connect with God in prayer, not just asking God for a lot of things, but learning to be in the presence of God. Learning to be at home in meditating through Scripture. Learning to be at home to meditate on what God's doing in our life and to allow God to set us directions. And there are many disciplines that can help us with that, and I'm not here going to talk about all those disciplines. But the disciplines are there that help us keep Jesus, keep God in the center, that we might grow and become the people of God. In Revelation chapter 21, at the end of all this, what is the direction? What is the statement that John says? And God will be God, and we will be his people. You see, and this is a theme in the Old Testament. And so this is, a sense, the spiritual side of this community of faith. And sometimes we just get lost in this, and we think, this is the only piece. If we would just cover this, then everything else will be okay. But Peter Scazzaro says so eloquently, he says, you can't have spiritual maturity without emotional health. And so we want to look at what it means to have emotional health in this kind of community. And so the first part of this is the learning to be transparent. And I'm talking about these sort of as a graph. So we this is something we're always learning about, we're always growing about, learning to be transparent. And one of the most difficult places, I think, and in my own life, is how do you be transparent to yourself? How do you start to discern what are my motives? Where does that come from? Where does that sudden anger come out? Like, oh, how does that come from me? And or how does it that I tend to want to just sulk away and be by myself? And where do some of those things come from? You see, we're an iceberg. Many years ago, my dad, we wrote kind of love letters to each other. And one thing my dad said to me, he said, Gary, I can see 10%, but the 90% is like an iceberg. It's underneath. I don't know you. And I think all of us would say that. We are like 90% is underneath this iceberg. And we don't understand that. And so learning to be transparent to ourselves, I think, is so vital as we're part of this community. Because we realize what we bring. We realize who we are in a very profound way. And in that sense, we can develop limits and know our limits. And by limits, there are so many ways that we have limits. For instance, when Carol and I got married, it limited how we related to the world because we're no longer single, right? And so there are certain limits that are around us. My dad passed away, certain limits all of a sudden came to us because no longer did we have that center person who kept our family together. And so limits come through life. When we have children, it sets up limits. And so part of transparency is to know these limits. When we have a diagnosis of cancer or a diagnosis of diabetes or a diagnosis of different things that impact us, we need to embrace those limits. Because embracing those limits, we can understand how God is helping to shape us at the time. And so transparency is very important. And the other part that becomes really important in this journey is authenticity. You see, when we are authentic, when we've been transparent, we can become authentic. We can speak, as Paul says in Ephesians, we can speak the truth in love. And it's interesting, he says, when we speak the truth in love, we can grow into Jesus. Now, that's a tough statement because sometimes we end up with just the truth, and the truth can be very biting or hurt. And sometimes we think of love as being mushy and, oh, I don't want to do that. But love has its focus that can speak the truth in love. To bring both of those together is to be authentic in community. When we are authentic, we can choose to be, as Paul says here, we can choose to be patient and kind. We can choose to sacrifice ourselves, in a sense, like giving up something. But it's a place of choice, not a place of a victim. We see that Jesus was authentic. If you look at his life, he was authentic. He could speak to the Pharisees in an authentic way, and he could speak to the woman at the well and be authentic. He knew who he was. He could speak to Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector, and in talking to him, Zacchaeus changed his way of thinking, his way of life. And so the authenticity is so important as a people of God. If we can embrace that concept, I think we'll learn what it means to be the people of God. And this is not easy, because sometimes when being authentic may feel like, it hurts somebody else. But the intention isn't to cause pain. The intention is to create a community that is real and authentic. And so this is a second point, second theme on this area. So one is to be transparent, and the second is to be authentic and to live with integrity. You see, integrity allows us to have intimate relationships where we don't give up ourselves, but we can embrace the other person. Integrity allows us, encourages us to live in a way that what we say and what we do come together. Integrity allows us to be authentic. Integrity allows us to be transparent. And so these are important elements. You see, integrity, I think, embraces a call rather than performance. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul talks about the nature of the church according to your calling. We have been called to be this kind of people. And integrity embraces that calling rather than duty or performance. So integrity comes from the heart. It's something that we can build on. It's something that we can become more people of integrity. And so these are some important elements as we think of being connected as a community. We are connected in Jesus, and there's a spiritual connection that needs to keep going, needs to be developed and nurtured. And we are connected to each other. And the most profound parts of this connection is that when we are transparent with each other. Now, I want to be careful here, because you don't have to be transparent with everybody, and we need to find a place where we can be transparent. Husband and wife can be transparent with each other, and it's such a healthy thing. And you don't want to take all the conversation there and blab it over. But transparent in a community might be, you know what, this week my was a tough week for me. I was diagnosed with cancer, and I don't understand what that is. I I'm in shock. Just to say that much to the community or to somebody in a broader sense, I think, helps us to be transparent. And because otherwise we're going to deny that and walk as if nothing has happened. And so these qualities help us in the human side of being a church. If we are transparent, if we're authentic, and if we walk with integrity, I think God has a chance to shape and form us, and we recognize that our time together, our time as a people, can be deeper and real. I want to just read something that I read this morning, and some of you who have the Rejoice may have read that this morning, but it comes out of James chapter 3, and it speaks to this issue so profoundly. And James says in verse 13, "Who is wise among you? By his good conduct let him show his works in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder of every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, it's gentle, it's open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." And so while this is something we have in today, we are addressing that. This is something that has been addressed way back in the early church. And so the struggles we have that we talk about here are not necessarily new. There are some of those that have happened way back there, and the authors of Scripture have addressed some of those. And so it's my invitation that as we go forward in this kind of a vision, that we be connected in community, we might realize, as Paul says, that we might grow to the fullness in Christ. And that takes being transparent, and that involves being authentic, and that involves living with integrity. And I trust that as we look at this, it's not a place of judgment, but it's more of a place of grace, and that we can move in the direction of emotional health and spiritual maturity. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for being with us this morning. We have sung some beautiful songs and worshiped you in song. We have worshiped you in scripture. We have worshiped you in the giving of our tithes and offerings. And today we worship you because you're involved as the head of the church, Lord Jesus. Your spirit is here among us. And as Father, as God, you are over all of us. And that we might understand and be humble in your presence. We also understand that you've created us to be in community. And so help us to know what it means to be transparent and to be authentic and to be live in integrity. For as we do this and as we are involved in community, our community can grow rich and deep. And the outreach can be profound and amazing because we have grown into the fullness of Jesus. In your name I pray, amen.